in the text that call for our attention this Lord's Day are both our Old Testament lesson for the day and our gospel lesson. In our Old Testament lesson, Amos the prophet mentions that Israel will be taken away into exile and is eventually told to leave town. And John the Baptist tells King Herod that his marriage to his brother's wife is not pleasing in the Lord's eyes. He is eventually imprisoned and beheaded. Those are our two texts. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we read earlier, and as I just mentioned again, Amos told the king of Israel that the constant idolatry of the kings and the people of Israel would soon mean their destruction. John the Baptist told King Herod that his actions of enticing his brother's wife away to come and be his wife were certainly not God's pleasing. Eventually, Amos was told to get out of town. John the Baptist was imprisoned and later beheaded. You know, neither Amos nor John spoke the words they did because they liked to ruffle feathers or because they wanted to see who they could upset. No, they spoke those words because God had told them to speak those words. They said them because they were the truth. They said it knowing full well that they might not be received well, but that God wanted them spoken anyway. We, God's children who live in this day and age, would do well if we follow the lead of Amos and of John the Baptist. But I ask you today, do you and I have the type of courage that those men had? Do we have the type of courage necessary to speak the truth, even when we know that truth might not be received very well? If we question our lack of courage, it's certainly easy to blame that lack of courage on our world. For our world does simply not want us to do the work of speaking truth. No, in fact, in our world, we have been taught now for decades that we are not to say anything negative about anyone or anything. We are to accept everyone without any word of condemnation. We're not to utter what we believe to be truth, because after all, someone might be upset because they have a different idea of what truth is. Now, in our world, tolerance has become the key word for decades now. Words of rebuke and actions of discipline are simply thought of as remnants of a past age. And those who still believe that they should be used are often just thought to be stuck in that past age. And no doubt the push for tolerance and for not speaking any sort of truth has gained many followers. You see, there are many parents in our day and age that will not call attention to anything less than perfect in their children because they simply are afraid that their fragile self-esteem might be broken. There are many people in our day and age that will never say anything to a friend when their actions are obviously less than wise, because they fear rejection from that friend and the loneliness that might ensue. Many churches in our day, which once practiced discipline in order that sin might be exposed as sinful, now simply look all sorts of sin in our midst. You see, if we were able to take people from our age back to the day when the prophet Amos lived or when the prophet John the Baptist lived, I'm sure the people of our age would love to have a chance to instruct both of them. They would no doubt tell Amos that he shouldn't be so judgmental. They would tell him that he should not suggest that other religions are less valid than his own. They would tell him something like, don't we all serve the same God anyway? John the Baptist, no doubt, would be told to keep out of people's personal lives. He would be told to back off because perhaps Herod
nothing.
It's so easy to simply smile and fake it. It's so easy to convince ourselves that these things that others are doing are simply none of our business. After all, why should we speak the truth? Why should we take the risk that someone else might be offended? Why would we take the chance that we might suffer for such speaking of truth? Do we really want to be told to leave our community like Amos was? Do we want to be imprisoned like John was? Or worst of all, do we want to find our head resting upon a platter like John was? Well, of course, the answer to those last three questions is that none of us desire those things. But then again, neither did Amos or John the Baptist. No, you see, they too surely did not relish the thought of suffering for speaking the truth. But likewise, they had something inside of them that was even more powerful than their desire for well-being. They had a desire throughout their whole lives that they would be found faithful. You see, Amos and John the Baptist did not want sin to simply be able to flourish in the lives of the people closest to them. And so they simply could not be silent when God had told them that they had to speak. And so rather than allowing their life to be ruled by their desire to be well and to never suffer, they instead allowed their life to be ruled by the constant desire they had to remain faithful. And so they spoke truth and entrusted their lives into God's hands. They acted with the courage that the Holy Spirit had given to them. And Amos and John the Baptist were not alone in such faithful action. Eventually, in fact, there would be one who would rise who did this work that they did in much more great and powerful ways. For you see, Jesus Christ was the ultimate truth speaker. For he not only said truth, but he was truth to his very core. We as God's children often remember the words of comfort and grace and mercy that Jesus spoke to people and released them of the guilt that was in their hearts. But we must not forget that when the time was right, Jesus also spoke many words of rebuke. Speaking so truthfully ultimately ended Jesus up on the cross. Indeed, because of his truthful speaking, he ended up being crucified by those who hated him. And again, we must know for Jesus that the idea of being crucified was not pleasant. It wasn't something that he was even indifferent to. No, we are told that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweated blood at the thought, and that he cried out to God asking if there was any other way that the salvation of man could be accomplished. But ultimately, he knew that he simply had to be faithful. And so all the way to his last breath, he spoke the truth and entrusted his life into God's hands. No doubt we, the people of God in this age, who follow people like Amos and John and Jesus in the relationship of time, are indeed called to do the same work that they did. And indeed, we must return to doing this work of truth speaking at every level. We must do it inside of our family. We must do it in relationships that we have with friends. And we must do it even at the congregational level as well. You see, we must do what they did. Simply speak the truth and entrust our lives into God's hands. We must do it so that sin can be exposed for what it is. We must do it so that sin will not grow in our midst like an active yeast. And ultimately, we must do this work so that people will truly understand their need for Christ. For you see, when we speak words of truth, God is glorified. No matter what the response to that truth speaking is, For if we speak truth and it is rejected, it only makes evident the wickedness that is in the world. But on those great occasions when we are blessed to speak truth and it is received, we get to watch as the Almighty God takes another person and places them at the feet of the cross. Places them there at the feet of the one who can remove the truth of sin and guilt with the plate, and in their place put grace and mercy. Yes, our world has tried for more than decades to deceive us. And no doubt the world will continue that work. Especially in our day, the world will try to convince us that the era of truth-seeking has simply passed. It will try to silence us with well-worded speeches about tolerance and unconditional acceptance. It will try to shame us by telling us that we're simply overzealous or undereducated if we continue to speak as if we might know what truth is. And as the world speaks these things to us, the sinful flesh that dwells inside of us will rejoice in the vision of the world given to us by the world. For our flesh will like the idea that living in this new world maybe means that we no longer have to confront our friends or our family members when they do things we know are wrong. Our flesh will rejoice in the lie that somehow we can live in our marriages and still never talk about the things that are most important in those marriages, the real sin that dwells there. Our flesh will be overjoyed with the suggestion that perhaps church should simply be a place where we gather to be patted on the back, no matter what we have done in our personal lives. You see, the flesh loves what is immediately easy. But for the good of us all, in order that all might be drawn to the way and the truth and the life of Jesus, we must today again ask the Holy Spirit to give us the kind of courage that he gave to Amos, that he gave to John, that he gave to Jesus. For with the world and our flesh trying to deceive us, we need constantly for the Spirit to reconnect us to Jesus in order that his truth might transform our lives by renewing our mind. And thanks be to God that even today as we offer up that prayer that God would give us such courage, God answers that prayer here today. For the Spirit in this place again today, through words of scriptures and the pronouncement of the forgiveness of sins, connects us back to Jesus. Our sins and the path of choosing the easy way over the true way are forgiven, and we are blessed to live with God in our lives, to have the Holy Spirit there convicting us of truth, to know that the way, the truth, and the life is with us every step of the way. And being filled with such truth, we then will have the courage we need to speak that truth, whatever the situation, whoever the person is before us. We will even have the courage to speak the truth to ourselves. For when we speak the truth, God alone gets